Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. Over the last few months, we've been going through a sermon series called Walking with Jesus. And throughout the series, we'll be looking at different key points of Jesus' ministry, where he went, what he did, who he was with, and the importance that it still has on us today. But the one thing we want to take away from this sermon series is this: Jesus is real. Jesus was born on this earth. He was fully human, but he was also fully God. And so far, we've seen some amazing examples that show us that Jesus lived just like we do. He laughed, he cried, he had family and friends and celebrations, but also we've looked at how Jesus has come with a purpose. He's done some amazing miracles, and Jesus speaks with such authority that you cannot deny what he's saying. Last week, Chad talked about the woman at the well, how this woman was from a group of people called the Samaritans, who were despised by the Jews, and this woman at the well was living a life that was not good and pleasing to God, but Jesus sat down with her. He talked to her, and he changed her life by showing her that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior. He is the one that God said would come. So throughout this series, so far, we've seen some amazing things, again, that Jesus has done. So much hope, so much excitement, and miracles, and all the awesome things. Well, this week is going to be almost the opposite of that. It's not that I'm looking to drag you down, okay? That's not what we're going with, but it's not all rainbow and sunshines when it comes to Jesus. So as today's sermon is all about how Jesus is not liked or loved by all, and we get to see it very, very early in his ministry. So we're going to turn to Luke 4, 14 through 30. Luke 4, 14 through 30. And from the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows or a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Now we're going to read Luke 4, 14 through 30 in its entirety. There is a lot going on in these verses, so we're going to go ahead and talk about what's happening and break down exactly what's going on here. So, verse 14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the bow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. but he walked through the crowd and went on his way. So again, we start off with Jesus again is back in Galilee. Okay, and we're going to hear Galilee a lot because that's where they're doing a lot of ministry and it's a lot of time is spent there. But we get to see the town that Jesus goes to and then he goes back home. So Jesus is going to Nazareth. It's one of those things where if someone told me it's time for you to go preach in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I'd be like, ah, going home. I know those people. I know what's happening. This is where he was raised. This is where his family is. Jesus is known all over this town, and it is a small town. It's believed to be less than 1,000 people in this town. Some say 500 or less were in this town. And you know what that means? Everybody is all up in everybody's business. Okay, that's how that works. If you're not from a small town or you've not lived in a small town, I'm going to tell you, if you do, everyone's going to know everything about everyone and everyone's going to talk. It happens really quickly. So everyone knows who Jesus and his family is. And it says in verse 16 that on the Sabbath, the day of rest, the day to honor God, they went to the synagogue as was their custom. Does that sound familiar? Everyone sitting here today in person, it's the same thing. It's the same sort of thing where they had that day where they gathered in their temple, in their church, in their synagogue, and they're going to learn from the Word of God. And Jesus stood up and he was given a chapter from the book of Isaiah, kind of like we're reading from the Bible right now. So Jesus reads this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after hearing that, Jesus takes a seat. He does his thing and everyone is waiting then. He read the scripture. Now they're wondering, okay, so what is he going to talk about in this scripture? What does it mean? And we know this is from Isaiah 61. And they're all watching him. And these verses are God's promises of the Messiah. God's promises of the Savior that is to come. That's going to restore Israel, to bring the people back to God. And as they watch Jesus, Jesus says, today I want you to know that scripture, it's fulfilled. Right now, you're hearing it. Right now, in this moment, you're seeing it right now in person. You are witnessing the Messiah has come. And it says some were amazed. They were like, wow, really? Now it's happening? This is awesome. This is great. This is wonderful. Oh, wait. Then they start having their doubts. And in verse 22, they kind of have this moment where they're like, oh, what did he just say? Isn't this Jesus, son of Joseph? You know, the carpenter, the laborer, the person that makes things for us with his hands? How is this the Messiah? And Jesus knew their hearts. He knew they were not going to believe that this son of a local carpenter, whom they've seen grow up right in front of their eyes, there is no way that this is the Messiah. And then Jesus quotes a proverb for them. It says, "Physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we heard, what you did in Capernaum." They're challenging Jesus. It's not that they're finding fault, that they're not sitting back and going, oh no, I know the horrible things you did when you were a kid, because in a small town, they know, okay? But he didn't have that. Instead, they were going, you're a nobody. You're from a family of nobodies. You guys are the lowest of lows, and you think you are the one that was sent here. They're saying, you say that you're the Messiah, and we have heard that you've done amazing things, that you speak with wisdom and truth, that you can heal and do awesome things that no one else can do. So do it here. Do it for us. Prove it. It's almost like they were poking Jesus. They were like, do something awesome. We want to see this. Do something to show us. That you're not just this Jesus that we've always known, but that you're this Savior that God has said will come. I don't know why, but I always picture it this way, because Jesus seems so like nonchalant about it. So he goes to church like normal. He reads a passage like normal. He takes a seat and he just says, yeah, that's me. And just looks around. Yep, that's it. That's all I got for you today. That's me. Then as they start to talk with each other, he's just chilling. He doesn't actually like step up and say, how can you not believe? This is terrible. What's wrong with you? Watch this. He doesn't do any of that. He just sits back. And he says, you want me to prove it? You want me to show you some amazing signs? No, I'm not going to do that. And here's why. He just seems so cool about it, so calm. And we see that again at the end of these verses. But Jesus, he's challenging them. In verse 24, Jesus says, this is your norm. This is what you do. This is what you do as people. Your prophets, those sent by God, they are never accepted in their own hometown. And here is proof for you. Here is your history. You remember Elijah? He was like the prophet. Everyone loves Elijah. They're like, Elijah did this and Elijah's coming back. He did amazing things in the name of the Lord. He burned down false idols. He had false prophets killed. He gave message after message to the people from God. And looking back, they go, Elijah is awesome and wonderful. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't that way when Elijah was actually delivering the messages in real time. The people of Israel, when they were getting the truth from Elijah about what God is saying, they were really mad at Elijah. They were like, what are you doing? We're not following you. We're not listening to you. Who are you to tell us these things? But Jesus says, you know what? Elijah went where God sent him. There were many starving widows right here in our own homeland. There was a famine for 3.5 years. And where was Elijah sent? He wasn't sent to his own people. He was sent to a widow from Sidon and not his homeland. But he's not the only prophet that you've rejected. Jesus says, what about Elisha? There were many with leprosy that had this terrible infectious disease right here in your hometown, right here in Israel. And God's chosen people, they were suffering. But Elisha, the prophet, did not heal any of them. Actually, Elisha healed Naaman, the Syrian, a stranger, a non-Israelite. And it's because it is God's will. You're going to reject him anyways. And you may be thinking, well, that doesn't sound that bad. I don't really see that big of an issue here. But Jesus was saying, yeah, I know you. I know your hearts. You reject all of God's messengers, and it's not shocking that you're going to reject me as well. Well, this really angered the people, and these are not strangers. He angered friends. He angered family. He angered those neighbors that he grew up with. People that Jesus and his family, they know very well. And the people decide, we have to take care of what he is saying. This is not okay. You would think they would say, you just got to get out. We don't want you in our church. We don't want you in our synagogue. But he spoke badly of all of them. So instead, you know what they're going to do? We're going to kill him. That's just the easiest way to take care of this. So they take Jesus and lead him to the top of a hill where the town was built, and it says they're going to throw him off a cliff. Man, that seems like it's not justified for what he is saying to them. But it comes down to it, they literally just proved Jesus right. Their hearts hated what he had to say. They hated him for what was going on and how he was calling them out. They hated that this boy that they saw grow up is saying that he was sent by God to save them, and they're going to reject him.
And so the only logical solution they could think of is we're going to throw them off a cliff. What I love about this is that Jesus, the Son of God, all-powerful, all-knowing, He's Jesus, He went with them. He walked on His own. They didn't tie His hands and feet up and carry Him up the hill. They all went up this hill together, and Jesus went with them, knowing their full intent to kill Him. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they wanted to do with Him, and Jesus went anyways. He didn't need to fight. And when they get to the top, they look at the cliff, and Jesus just turns around. And what does He do? He walks through the crowd and goes on His way. I think you need to understand how important that is. He walked through the crowd that was going to kill Him. Whenever I read this, I'm like, Jesus is so cool. He's so, like, tough. That's such a sign. I'm like, oh, He's a manly man. He's like, He's not backing down. He doesn't go around the crowd. He doesn't run away. He doesn't just kind of like walk away slightly. No, He goes and He looks them in the eyes and then He passes right through them, these people that hate Him. And He didn't need to say anything, not a single word, because He said all that He needed to say. And their actions proved Him right. So what's the point here? When following God, when giving God's word, it is not that we are to beat people with it. It's not that we need to fight with our fists or belittle people. We do need to speak truth, though. And the only truth we need to speak is God's word in its context, in its true form. Not just a verse here and there that we use to fit our agenda, but truly what the word of God says. Because that's what Jesus did. All He did was read from Isaiah and then say, it is fulfilled. And that was truth. And guess what? When you speak truth, you will not always be loved or liked either. Those who are closest to you, your friends, your family, your neighbors, they may hate you for what you stand for. They may hate you for living out the truth. And just as Jesus did here, it's not just about your words, but also your actions. It's about how we live, how we present ourselves, how we deal with people. Your actions will speak way more than your words ever will. What is amusing to me is that we know that even one of Jesus' brothers did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. We read it right here in God's word. His own family member. It wasn't until Jesus came back from the dead did his own brother finally say, okay, all right, you proved me wrong, Jesus. You did it again, brother. And that's what happened. It wasn't until he was like, my brother is dead. And then he saw him again and said, Jesus, my brother, I'm sorry, you are the Messiah. It's true. But I'm telling you, if you are loved by all, if everyone approves of everything that you say and do, more than likely, you look just like everyone else. Meaning that you're living as the world does and not as God has called us to live. We become so scared of hurting people's feelings. We become worried about what others are going to think. We have these thought processes like, oh no, they don't like what I'm saying. Am I doing something wrong then? Because I'm just quoting God's word here. Well, I guess I'm not going to speak God's word out loud then. Or we say these things that I'm doing with my life and I'm trying to live for God and it seems to be making others feel bad about their lives. Well, I guess I just need to be a closet Christian and just keep it to myself. Or we're afraid of judgment because when you live for God, you will stand out. And a lot of people, we don't want to stand out. We want to hide in the crowd. But you can't hide in the crowd when you're following God's word and following Jesus. What will people think about me? What if I upset someone? What if what I believe in the Bible hurts someone? I'm going to tell you, if you are doing the two greatest commands, then you are doing great. And that is to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. And that means to give Him your all, and then to love others as you love yourself. Keep going. Jesus did not see these people and say, wow, I've really upset them. I've really offended them. I've hurt them by what I said. Oh no, they don't believe what I'm saying. Oh no, they think I'm a liar. Oh no, they think I'm a hypocrite. Well, maybe I should just sit down and shut my mouth and fit in. That's not what Jesus did. And thank God, Jesus said, I'm going to follow God first. And I'm going to speak it and live it, no matter what people say. I want you to know that I personally have had many that hate me. I know some that hate me right now. Some say I'm a hypocrite. Some say I'm a liar. Some say I'm judgmental. Some say I'm a bigot. Some say that I am what is wrong with this world. And they're allowed to say those things. Not just because it doesn't matter what people think about me, but it's because all those things that have been told to me, they've all been said to me because of what I preach, teach, and live when it comes to God's Word and Jesus. It is not easy, but when you follow the truth, you can't go wrong. I'm going to follow God and God first. His truth, His Word, and everything He asks of me. And it means that you will not always be liked. And that's okay. Now, I want you to know this is not a free pass to just say whatever you want. Well, it doesn't matter if I offend you because I can say whatever I feel like and do whatever I feel like. No, no, no. That's not a free pass to do that. This is a free pass to live your life to reflect Jesus. If what you are doing reflects God's Word and the life that Jesus has called you to live, then keep going no matter what is happening around you, no matter how much people are fighting you, no matter how much they say they hate you. You have to remember, this was still the beginning of Jesus's ministry. This is people He knows, people He loves. These people, they hate Him enough to want Him dead. And Jesus tells us multiple times that when we are being the light of the world, when we are following God, you will also be hated. But that does not mean that we stop serving and following God. It does not mean that you have failed when you have upset people. So I want to leave us with this hope, and it's from 1 John 3, 11 through 18. 1 John 3, 11 through 18. And these words here have really helped me out personally. We've gone through this before, but when you read this in its entirety with what's happening, this can give you such comfort in what you're living for in this world. It says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sister, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Jesus died for these people. Jesus loved them with everything he had. Even though they hated him, fought him, spat on him, and eventually murdered him, Jesus did it for them. He laid his life down for them. And we ought to do the same. And like it says in verse 18, it's not always about your words and speech, but it's about your actions and the truth. There is a time to stop talking. And there's a time to be the example through action. If we see what Jesus did, he spoke first. And when they were angry with him and they hated him, all he did was show through his actions what really mattered. He said what he needed to say. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. Your words need to be holy and true, yes. Meaning the truth from God in love. But then the rest of the time, stop talking and just start living it. Act as if you are saved. Act as if you are following God and not the world. You will be hated, and that's okay, because you're being hated for following Jesus. Keep pushing. Keep fighting the good fight. Do not hide the light. Let everyone know the truth about Jesus Christ, because he is the only thing that truly matters. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to serve you, learn more about you, to live our lives for you. It is not always easy following what your example is. People hate the truth. People feel guilty. They feel angry. And what we need to do is we need to keep teaching and showing who God is, showing the truth, because this is the only way to set people free. I pray that as we go throughout this week, that we can keep speaking the truth, even if people hate us, even if people don't want to hear it, and then that we can live it every single day. You truly are the good, good Father, and we will follow you first and foremost. We love you. We thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.